Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Have you filed your taxes yet? I sent mine off last week.
Oh.
Yeah, have you done yours yet?
No, haven't done them yet.
What are you waiting for?
Well, access to my computer through this renovation, but beyond that, I got to get everything together still.
You know, there's a company that has a green logo you could just go to and
there's
get
a lot
it
of
over
them.
With.
There's a lot of them, yeah.
I don't know why you keep doing it yourself.
Right. Well, I'll tell you why. Because at one point, we had a company, and I knew the guy through the radio stations. And I went to him to do my taxes. And he sat down at the computer with the same program that I used in front of me and then charged me like $300 to do it.
Okay, and how long ago was this?
Long time ago.
All right. And now you're making more than 12 grand a year.
Slightly.
I mean, your world has changed. You have like 9 different gigs on the
right,
go.
Yes.
I mean,
there's
I don't
more
know.
Happening.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of write-offs you're missing now.
Probably. I got a guy, I got to sit down with him.
No, you don't even sit down. You just send it to him. He does it and sends it back, and you pay him. And you get on with your life.
Right.
I don't know why. You won't listen to me.
Same thing. Rules apply. You still got to compile everything and get it over to him.
Yeah, but that's the easy part. But there's lots of little hidden gems you're probably missing.
Yeah, could be.
But then, you know, in your case, who needs the money anyhow? You've got so much of it.
Yeah.
What does it matter?
I'm throwing it away.
Yeah. Who cares at this point? If you're in the midst of pulling your taxes together, this will make you happy. The average person spends around $720,000 in taxes in their lifetime.
Oof.
That's not just your income tax. That's taxes on groceries.
Right.
All taxes,
yes.
Gas, property.
Uh-huh.
720 grand.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there are some taxes which pay for services that we use and probably take for granted. Like, yeah, we complain about healthcare and going to the hospital, how long the waits take. But man, if you had, health problems, and you had to put financial problems on top of that as well. The stress that must cause.
Oh, I don't. Listen, honestly, we were having this conversation last night over dinner about taxes and government and things you're not supposed to talk about over dinner. But my family, luckily, most of us, I think all of us, are pretty much on the same page with all of that. But I said it last night, and I'll say it here. If life is to improve for everybody, and I got to kick in more to make that happen, I will do that.
Right.
I am fully happy to pay more to bring everybody along. I'm not one who thinks I got mine, get yours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're in certainly a crux in this country where, people are tired of a liberal government that is more along those lines. Mm-hmm. And we've got to, help people along and, protect the environment for later. And we're starting to turn to those kind of conservative views of, well, I got mine.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you taking more of mine to give to others? And we see it in all those little microeconomic examples of it all the time where you see someone who's down on their luck. You're like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And why am I supporting that?
But we don't know what happened in their life.
No, not at all.
There.
No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, you're really starting to see a change in the dynamic of this country where you get more people saying, forget them.
Yeah. And that's a terrible, terrible way to look at life. It really, as much as there's going to be some positives to the right and positives to the left, I just feel like at the end of the day, the left still has their heart in the right place more so than the right.
And at the end of the day, I've always said it, if I was going to write a book on politics, it'd be called The Race to the Middle, mm-hmm. because what you're going to get is all of this rhetoric that comes up pre-election. And then when it's time to get down to brass tacks, no pun intended here, that and you know, whatever the next government may be, if it makes that change, you're going to see a lot of those policies go right back towards the middle.
You should write that book. I mean, you've mentioned it many times, right? And then you'd really need an accountant, because that would be your 10th job. Nice to meet you, Jack. My name's Craig. This is Lucky.
Oh, you've met Jack before.
I just had a little meeting with him before I got here. Just to calm the nerves.
Jack, meet Ice.
That's right. Just, I don't even bother now. Crack the top and slug it right out of the freezer. The fireball is good for that.
Oh.
Keep that in the freezer. Keep that cold and ready to go.
You turn me onto the Honey Jack in the freezer.
Honey Jack in the freezer, yes. Any even the pre-mixed old fashions and such.
Very good.
In the freezer are, who needs ice in a glass? It takes too long.
Right.
Let's just get it in you. Keep the demons at bay, I say. Yeah. So I spent all of yesterday afternoon, well, actually most of the day, because I was watching the highlights and stuff, and then got down to the business at 2 o'clock of watching the Masters, and was on the couch, hooked up to the Iron Lung, and it was terrific and entertaining, and I saw some people that I know who had actually had the pleasure of ending up in Augusta. They were reporting back on what they saw, and
wow,
what an amazing place it is to go to, and how the TV does it no justice as much as it looks great on television.
Right.
They were saying about how you're not allowed to, the do's and the don'ts, and you can't have a phone.
Nope.
They call people patrons.
Yes.
The bathrooms are so immaculate that every time somebody uses a toilet or a urinal, there are people there cleaning them out every single time.
Not the job you'd want.
No, not really. Of course, the food is dirt cheap.
They stick with like the 1950s prices, like $2.50 for a sandwich, and it is it's a very respectful place.
Yeah,
I've heard that it's so much hillier than you would imagine, because the TV can't really show that.
It's a tough walk.
Yes. Said.
Yeah. And it was all great. You and I were texting back and forth. I really loved that at one point there, and I guess heading into the back nine, there was four people tied for first.
Yep.
All at plus six, and then Scotty took off and did his thing.
I had put my money literally on Max Homa, like 56 to 1 or something like that.
Wow.
On Wednesday. I mean, all the odds were in favor of Scotty Scheffler, world number one.
Yeah.
You know, just an unbelievably calm and cool performer down the stretch, and he walks away with it, runs away with it in a four-shot lead.
Yeah, no, it was very entertaining, and he seems like a solid dude. I thought it was great that amateur Shipley got to play with Tiger. That must have been, and as he said in the, was it called Bunker's Hut or whatever the hell they call it?
Butler Cabin.
Butler Cabin. He was the honor of a lifetime, and I guess it would be. So that was also cool. But I will say it, as I said it often, and I think it's just, I think we're all good at something and terrible at other things. You know, I don't think you can have a full package human being who has all of it going.
Right.
And like that Shipley kid, he literally looked like a deer in the headlights when the camera was on him when they were in the Bunker's condo. And he looked like a Manson family member when they were all sitting around the courthouse. Had he shaved his head,
right,
he could have been a Manson family member. And again, for all they keep going to these clips of these highlights and these great moments and all the history of the Masters and all the drama of the Masters, they couldn't come up with a more boring way to award the jacket. It's like they said, hey, let's have these guys play for 4 days.
Yeah.
And then basically let's dream up the dumbest way, the most boring way to hand out the coat. There's four of them sitting in there all talking like this. The game's over, first of all. Can we have a little excitement?
It's interesting how they do it. Because it is, you know, the presentation of the green jacket, and it's supposed to be last year's winner that puts it on. But when they rush to do it in this Butler cabin, in a very quiet, stale environment.
Oh, horrible.
And with the low amateur, the past champion, it's usually Jim Nantz, I think, who does the awards presentation and the champion. And then they go outside and they do it all again on the 18th green with all the members around.
You don't see it.
But you don't see that part.
Yeah.
You know, and in every other tournament, they go right back to the 18th green and award it in front of everyone. And so you get some cheering and some background and just some actual noise to it all. I know what you mean. It's
so lame.
It's an opportunity to interview the pro, and I guess that's the whole thing, or the winner. Sorry.
First of all, who cares to interview them? They have nothing to say.
Well, especially Scottie Scheffler, his wife is bursting pregnant right now. He in his post match interviews, he was like, "I just want to leave."
Well, he said if he had gotten the call that she was going into labor, he would have left.
It's funny. We were talking about this. I was at the hockey game, of course, last night, and so
Tooney. Yeah,
and we were talking about this because people were saying, "Oh yeah, if the phone rings, he's going." Well, I get it. First time dad. Right. If the phone rang on Thursday, then perhaps that's a bit different.
Right.
If the phone is still on the back nine with a 3-shot lead, or if she's at home watching and in the hospital, you're not making it home in time anyway.
No.
Would you really make that call? And would you question someone for making that call at that point? I mean, we've all been at work and most of us are happy to leave work should a call like that come.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's $3.5 million, a green jacket, and, the status of world number one on the line, chances are that phone's not ringing, even if she goes into labor on the back nine.
Yeah, and plus, especially with a first child, many, many times there's the labor, or there's the cramping, and there's all of the contractions, but it could be 12 hours before a baby comes along. He could have played another nine and gone to dinner. Anyhow, it was all great. The other guy that was sitting in the bunker townhouse there, the president of the Masters.
Oh, right, yeah.
He looked to me like a guy who's driven around in a van with his pants off. Looking for victims.
Probably a very expensive van.
Yeah. He's a creepy looking dude as well.
the chairman of Augusta National is who's there.
Yeah.
But that is generally here in this area, the unofficial start to the golf season.
Yeah.
Because it gets everyone ramped up. And one of the reasons being is because the Masters pays for less commercials. And it's so much easier to watch that tournament because it's not a commercial every 10 seconds in play. It just feels like there's hardly ever any commercials in it. They give up hundreds of millions of dollars in advertising in order to present that the way that they do.
Well, because they had Mercedes-Benz, IBM, eat my pants.
Did you see, by the way, in Mercedes, one of the commercials was for like Maybach? Maybach, like, these are getting $800,000 cars. Sure. It's only the Masters tournament that's advertising cars like that.
Sure, of course. And then when it comes to on-camera people, listen, TSN is no better. The guy in the middle with the porn mustache.
Graham DeLette, former player. Yeah.
God bless Bob Weeks, but boy, oh boy, less camera time for him as the years mount. And the other dude is no runway model either. Three Stooges sitting up there. This is on camera. Can we hire people that I don't know someone would want to look at? All I can hear is
HD isn't always your friend.
No. I mean, every time I look over at Maria and she's looking at the TV going, ew, that's a problem. Jesus. Man, oh man, they got it. Listen, even like in auto racing, they're spraying drinking the milk and spraying stuff off the grandstand when the guy wins. And you got beautiful models up there holding trophies and doing things. In baseball, of course, they're spraying champagne when they haven't even won anything yet.
Right.
mean, there's all sports seems to have some great moment, a lap of some sort.
Right. It's funny, on the LPGA, they do that. They usually, there's some sort of watershed. It's like a wet T-shirt contest at the end of a tournament.
Beautiful. I'm a fan. I'm in.
Sure you would be.
As long as a guy with no pants isn't sitting there.
I'm freezing in here this morning.
Are you? I don't notice it. I feel
Pull a Madonna here.
You only got a T-shirt on.
I wrote the T-shirt because it was warmer.
Oh, you didn't even bring a jacket.
I have a jacket.
Oh, put it on. I have to
put the jacket back on.
Put that jacket back on. Yeah, uh-huh. It feels, I got my jacket on. It feels, comfortable.
Right. All right.
To me.
They don't respect me around here.
Why should they?
True. They don't respect anybody.
Shocked.
I'll pull a Madge.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Yeah.
Show won't go on.
Nope. Until somebody cranks up the heat.
Fix the air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, the heat's never really worked in this place. I mean, we...
That's right. I'll throw the portable heaters on you.
It's a great building. It should be condemned. It's really... What's the word I'm looking for? dump. I worked in a radio station in the 80s, was in better facilities than this place. Most of us, if we're honest, will say we've browsed our phones while sitting on the toilet.
Uh-huh.
For some people, it's a rare thing, but for a lot of others, it's very common. But this seems surprising. Some men say they use their phone while peeing at a urinal. Many say they have, and in some cases, it's a regular thing.
Right.
Here's my question. How? Because normally when you pee at a urinal or even into a toilet, one hand is busy holding your unit. How do you work in your phone with the other hand is my question.
Well, what if one hand's on your unit, what's the other one doing for you?
Well, how do you hold your phone and press the buttons? You got thumbs that are 6 inches long?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can hold your phone and push buttons.
Well, see, I use one of those little phone poppy things, so it helps hold my phone. Oh,
okay. Well, that makes a difference, I guess.
But yeah, some people can do it. I guess they cradle their phone.
Okay, and then the next question then, if it makes sense, how long are you peeing? 8, 9, 12 minutes?
It depends on how long I've been at the bar.
Are you Niagara Falls? I mean, usually it takes less than a minute. So I don't know why you need the phone for a pee.
Right.
The phone for a poop, I get.
Right.
That takes time and effort.
Yes. I guess if you are, like, if you're at a table of people and you don't want to be rude and have the phone out at the table, then when you excuse yourself to the bathroom, you're usually checking the phone quickly to see if you got some.
I know, but again, isn't that
messages or emails or whatever?
Sadness,
yeah, pretty much.
It's we're so sad.
That's where we're at.
We're so pathetically sad. You ever look at a glass of champagne and wonder how many bubbles are in here?
Nope.
I usually drink it too fast to notice the bubbles.
Well, I mean, you notice that there's bubbles in it.
Yeah.
Don't call it bubbly for nothing, but
no.
Yeah. Never contemplated how many or tried to count.
There used to be a belief that there was at least 15 million in every flute or every glass of champagne.
Wow.
But now researchers, because there's people who are on this, say that it's less than we may have thought. It's probably just around 1 million bubbles per glass.
All right. Well, yeah. Glad they cleared that up.
See, you're getting less for more money these days, just like everything else.
Shrinkflation.
Yeah. If you want more bubbles in your champagne, you should serve it warmer than usual. Ew, gross. And tilt the flute more while pouring.
Okay.
That's the trick. If you're into adventure, the deadliest mountain in the world is K2, the second highest mountain in the world behind Mount Everest. Only 377 people have successfully climbed it, and 91 have died trying.
We talked about this earlier, and since then I watched like a video of a guy filmed himself climbing up this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane what the, every now and then I'll take a drive and you'll see like a kind of, not even a mountain, just a hill.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, that'd be a cool view from that hill. But I couldn't even make it to the bottom of that hill. Like the hike to get into the base of it. I couldn't make it to base camp when you see how far these guys are trekking.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just a gene that people have that I do not possess.
Right. Yeah.
No, I like to climb onto the couch.
And that's, they need, what's that, effort.
Right. Yeah. It's a whole other level of something that I don't have. The term hooker. Now there's something I've had.
That you'll give effort.
That's, oh yes. I'm paying for this. Want to make sure she's having fun too? No, I've never been to a hooker. I'm afraid she'd decline me. No, I'm not interested.
Disappoint enough people on a daily basis.
I don't want to be the John that gets turned away. Anyhow, the term hooker started in the 1820s when prostitutes would hang out in part of Manhattan called Corleer's Hook.
Oh,
they were hookers in the hook.
Interesting.
Chlorine was first added to pools in the 1940s because it killed polio.
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting, I think. The famous warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark is just a painting. It just looks real thanks to great camera work.
What?
Yeah. That's Steven Spielberg. He knew a thing or two. The BC and the AD were invented in 525 AD. By a monk who wanted to make sure they were celebrating Easter on the right dates.
Okay.
Australia is the only place in the world with horizontal time zones. but they only go into effect in the summer, which is our winter.
Okay, so you change time as you travel south through the country, I guess?
I'm not sure. I just know the water goes backwards or something. Right.
Counterclockwise.
Yeah. The first version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in 1964 had the Oompa Loompas being black pygmy slaves from Africa, but the book was revised and republished in 1972, and they were then described as white dwarf hippies. And then they kind of turned into orange characters
right.
as the years went on.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a bit problematic to have black pygmy slaves from Africa.
Yeah, probably a good call to change that.
Broken in a chocolate factory.
True.
So, yeah, they changed it and they got rid of it. The concept for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air came from a music manager who grew up poor in East Los Angeles, became friends with rich kids from Beverly Hills, and moved in with one of the families.
So it had nothing to do with Will Smith necessarily.
No, he was just hired as the star of the show. I think Quincy Jones produced it and dreamt it up. I remember hearing a story that Quincy Jones was throwing a party. Will Smith had been invited to that party, and that's when he offered him the role. Because if it was a music manager and based on a music manager's life, that would have been Quincy Jones's world. So he probably knew the person or had heard the story from somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait. So but they never gave him credit as being the inspiration of the show?
No, I think he just wrote the song. Like, I think maybe that's
what the music producer.
I don't know.
They never named the guy?
No, I don't know. I don't have his name.
Seems like a real slap in the face from Will Smith.
Well, he got to live free in some Beverly Hills mansion. So, I get it. Slap in the face. Uh-huh. I see what you did there. Yes. People around the world ate more than 121 billion packages of ramen noodles in 2022. That's an average of 15 servings per person.
That's a lot of Mr. Noodle.
Yeah. That's too much ramen, I think. Most gas stations just mix regular gas and premium gas at the pump to make their midday or mid-grade fuel.
What?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
I guess they can. I don't know. I mean, it depends, too, because some cars need the premium stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, but then I guess if you use the mid-grade and your car called for premium, you're still getting some premium. You're
getting some here and there. But I mean, it screams of like the Simpsons where Duff beer's all coming out of the same tap.
Right. Yeah, it's like all the bottled water from the Swiss Alps.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's from some hose behind a factory. And in the USA, the USDA has 1.5 billion pounds of something stashed in caves in Missouri. The process of stashing this was started around 75 years ago as part of a plan to stabilize dairy prices, but now it's mainly for use in food assistance programs. It's 105 billion pounds of cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheddar, baby.
That'll bung you right up.
For Wild Fork in Whippy, look who joins us. It's Ted Reeder, the godfather of the grill. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Craig. Good morning, Lucky.
Morning, Ted. How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain, you know. Getting ready to get the joint open.
Yes.
A few weeks away still, but okay. We're getting closer.
Well, it's always good days. April gives us much to look forward to, and so it's a good time to not complain, because we spend a lot of our time complaining, and nobody really cares, do they?
Well, you complain more than anybody I know.
Yes, I complain the most. I am very childlike.
You are the leader of the complainers.
I'm the captain of that team.
That's it.
I was just reading about condiments. Now, I love almost all condiments. I think I use bread just as a vessel to get condiments into my gob. But this doctor came up with a list of the healthiest and least healthy of condiments. Now, I would assume, Teddy, that you are a condiment fan. Do you have a favorite condiment?
I would have to say I do have a favorite condiment. And hot sauce would probably top the list of my favorite condiments.
Mm-hmm.
And a variety of different hot sauces, depending on the mood and the flavor and the food that I'm working with. Mustard would be number two. Mayonnaise would be number three. And then probably moving on down the line at the very, 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 very end, ketchup.
Right.
Maybe. Never.
Yes.
Not a ketchup.
Not
a fan.
No, not at all. No, what about you, Lucky? You got a favorite condiment?
Do cheese and salt count?
Whiskey. Does whiskey count?
Just asking for a friend. I would probably say garlic parmesan of some sort.
Garlic parm.
The garlic parm, I basically add to everything I can.
Yeah, you bathe in that bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that the healthiest condiments, top of the list is mustard, and then salsa, and then straight vinegar. Now, vinegar is very good for you because supposedly it's good for your guts, and it adds lots of flavor without adding salt, sugar, or fat. Mustard has little to no sugar, but it can be salty. Salsa can be salty as well, but it does have some veggies in it. The least healthy, mayonnaise, ketchup, and barbecue sauce. Mayo is the worst because of all the saturated fat. Ketchup and barbecue sauce are next because they're loaded with sugar. But being a chef, Teddy, it's a toss-up, isn't it? It's tough because fat and salt is what brings us, for the most part, the flavor.
Yes, fat does bring out flavor, and salt does bring out flavor. But vinegar is truly a great addition if you're trying to reduce your sodium intake and you want to get that flavor in there. Vinegar and then fresh herbs will add lots of flavor to your food. And not just white vinegar. Sorry, little frog in my throat.
That's okay.
I was just, it came off the grill, had to eat it.
And, it was hopping away.
That's right.
It was hopping away. And it had big thighs. And but try apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of salad dressing, just use apple cider vinegar if you're trying to reduce your fat intake with oils and things like that. Red wine vinegar, white wine vinegar, sherry vinegar is always a nice addition to have. Balsamic vinegar is extremely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And you can boil that balsamic vinegar down and make a syrup out of it.
Oh.
And it adds even more flavor to your salads.
Ted, I don't know if anyone has spent a lot of time looking at balsamic vinegars in stores, but the price range between them is unbelievable. What causes that difference?
The type of wine that has been used.
Okay.
The barrel it's aged in, and for the amount of time that it's aged in. So you can get balsamic vinegar that is 100 years old.
Wow.
And it's like a syrup all on its own, and it has a big burst of flavor that comes from it. A little goes a very long way. So, you know, buyer beware. There are poor quality vinegars out there. You have to find one that really works for you, and, you know, you don't need a lot to get a lot of flavor out of it.
I agree with you on the hot sauce, and I also think that hot sauce is probably on the list of healthier things because I know there are some of them that are loaded with salt, and you got to keep an eye on that. But I find a lot of the kind of the medium, middle of the ground hot sauces are usually like 8% sodium, and I've heard anything under like 10% in processed food is good. Anything above that, you start to get into too much salt category. But again, salt, it's like the base ingredient for so much goodness in food. And there's also a wide variety of salts. And something that I was just introduced recently to was finishing salts. And I didn't even know that was such a thing, but I guess people put them like on steaks or whatever, right?
Definitely. You know, there's a variety of different salts. Chefs traditionally use an iodized salt or a kosher salt as well, which is a little coarser. And then you get into your varieties of sea salt, and depending on the sea that they come from, you know, you can get a sea salt that comes from Newfoundland or a sea salt that comes from France, fleur de sel. You can get flaked sea salt. And then you have mountain salts like Himalayan pink salt. And people often call pink salt a sea salt, but it's not. It's from the mountains, and it is quite flavorful, and a little bit goes a long way. Finishing salts are just that when you finish that dish and you want to add a little bit of burst of flavor, you can sprinkle on a really good quality salt like a fleur de sel or a Maldon flaked salt is really a great option.
Same goes with olive oils, I guess, too, although you really wouldn't put that in the condiment category. But, yes, you have some really expensive, crazy olive oils. A lot of those, too, are used as a final topping, maybe in a soup or over a salad.
Yeah, definitely. And, but, you know, listen, I was in the grocery store, and I was looking at the price of oil, and I was looking at the price of everything, and it's gone through the roof, and I know that there are a lot of people out there that are looking at this going, why? Just on a sidebar rant, I would say to the big box stores out there, they are greedy, and they want to make more profit than is actually, I think, that's required. You know,
yeah,
they don't need
you're
to
not
be
wrong.
That greedy.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we pay tax on everything. And, again, we pay tax on tax. And it's getting a little bit ridiculous. And the grocery stores are not giving back. They try and make it sound like they give back, but they're not. They're not trying to help. And they're not trying to help Canadians. And our government is definitely not trying to help Canadians in that way. Yeah. And so when we're shopping, we have to look for the deals. You know, for example, chickpeas. There's a brand out there that I like when I buy a can of chickpeas. But now when I go in and I look for chickpeas, I look for what's the lowest price chickpea,
right?
Because it's just a chickpea and I'm not going to be that fussy about it. And if I can save 50 cents or 60 cents or a dollar, that's what I'm going to do. Luxury items are now, you know, you're not buying the things that used to make you feel real good because it was like a treat food.
Right.
Now you're just buying what's required. And to also save on your budget is shop more frequently and shop the smaller stores.
Mm-hmm.
Shop the stores that have the better customer service, that think about the customers out there and want to give them good quality at good pricing. And that's what we have to do. We have to shop and be smarter
right.
about the way that we shop.
And then those 50 cents you can save, Teddy, can go to the one condiment that none of us mentioned that I think we're all foolish for forgetting. Hell of a good dip. Might be the greatest condiment ever invented. Now, if I'm going to bathe in any dip, I'm jumping into a barrel of hell of a good.
Oh, man, that's for sure. That's for sure. It's a pretty good dip. You know, you can put that on toast. You can put your dipping into it, whether it's vegetables or
yes.
chips. But just spreading that on a piece of toast is a pretty damn good thing.
On a baked potato, too. Very tasty.
Oh, yeah, sir, Teddy.
All right, if people want to talk to you about condiments or anything around the grill as we head into the grilling season full time, how do they get a hold of you?
You're going to find me at Ted Grills.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.